we can do better in providing information and referral to folks that are seeking services, and also to the public who want to be able to provide good information to folks that ask them for assistance. Anything you want to mention on that, Commissioner Fish?
Well, I think it's instructive that we took up the one-stop domestic violence center today, and we talked about the benefits of consolidating services and having a one-stop. The Resource Access Center will in part provide that role, but enhancement of the 211 system and other tools for getting the word out to people who need the services or who can refer people to the services is part of my charge.
Great. And then working with Commissioner Fish, I'll be working with United Way to create a real change, not spare change, public education and over-the-counter donation program in retail stores throughout downtown. And we'll hear more from United Way on that. Number seven, the Office of the City Attorney will propose a new code to implement the sidewalk access and passage requirements of the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. So we seek, as Commissioner Fish noted, to implement and limit, we believe, limit our management of the sidewalk to enforcing the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. I will propose a downtown Portland retail strategy to assist downtown Portland retailers, working with the Downtown Retail Council, which is mentioned in number eight. Commissioner Leonard is working on the LU program. Do you want to talk about that?
I would. well, having been accused of many things, lacking a sense of humor is not one of them. There have been a lot of jokes associated with my interest in having public restrooms designed and installed in Portland, including the tongue-in-cheek moniker Leonard's Lose. I actually don't find that funny. And the reason is because of the James Chassis incident. I have read everything that is available. You might want to hold your applause until I'm done. I have read everything that all of you have had available to you publicly, and in addition to that, many documents that you have yet to have access to. I have concluded that in my review of the documents and in the conversations I've had, that the death of Mr. Chassis is completely unjustifiable and inexcusable. One needs to remember that the incident began with an allegation that Mr. Chassis was urinating in public. He was a mentally ill, homeless, helpless man. Where else was he to use the restroom? What has inspired me more than anything else were the incidents that led up to that incident to create and drive through this program to create public restrooms around Portland for sure, but particularly in the homeless community, the first of which was not coincidentally installed at 5th and Northwest Gleason, right next door to Transition Projects, a place that Mr. Chassis knew well. So it is my intention to be able to create a system of honorable places for people who do not have a place to live to relieve themselves. I think it's a basic human right, and I'm really proud that Mayor Adams has embraced that as part of this plan, and I'm humbled that he has assigned to me this responsibility, and I commit to having that done.
And another what we've heard in terms of feedback is that we make it very difficult for folks to report concerns in the public realm downtown, and Commissioner Fritz has agreed to work on how to make that more logical and streamlined. Commissioner Fritz?
And another of the things that happened as a result of the conversations over the summer is much better communication, and that's part of what I will be doing ongoing, is to let people know what numbers they can call. And thank those who've already commented on this sidewalk management plan by email, including Patrick Nolan, who had some excellent suggestions, that it's not just public safety, the numbers that we'll be publicizing. There are a number of resources. There's a good partnership between the Portland Business Alliance and service providers. And so there is a number. I'm going to start publicizing it right now. I'm going to say it many times. The number for public safety is 22-4-PETE, P-E-T-E. That's one of the numbers. You can also call 211 to offer help as well as to get help. So lots of people have asked, how can we help take care of people who need services? And you can call 211. Of course, you can always call 823-4000 during business hours, and the information referral specialist will help you find the right one. But the other number that people need to know, especially by heart, is the Project Respond number, which is the mental health crisis line that if people are wondering if a person needs help, they should call 503-488-9888. That's 488-9888. That's the number that if you're wondering if somebody needs medical assistance or if they might be dead or whatever reason that they might be lying on the sidewalk and might need help, not security services. I mean, obviously, if you're very concerned, you would call 911. But if you have a reason that the person might need some mental health services, that's a number that you can call. So we'll be working with multiple partners to make sure that people have many options for getting services and for giving service.
Number 11 talks about the proliferation of publication boxes on the public sidewalk, some of which publications have ceased to exist. We heard concerns that on occasion they're used for criminal-related activities, so we will come up, I'm charged as Transportation Commissioner to come up with a better way to manage the concentration of publication boxes on the public sidewalks. And number 12, as already mentioned by Commissioner Fritz, coming forward with a way to monitor the program to detail some measures of success, define some measures of success, and put together an oversight committee. Anything you'd like to add to that? All right. If we could have, going back to the items related to the police bureau, if we could have the commander or whomever, Commissioner Saltzman, would like to come forward and talk a little bit about the items mentioned about the Portland Police Bureau.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Mike Reese, the Central Precinct Commander, and I feel like our officers are often the point of the spear in dealing with these very difficult and complex issues that balance the needs of various constituencies. And often there's quite a bit of conflict about that balancing act. Certainly, I applaud and support your efforts to deal with a very complex and difficult issue, and thank you for taking this on. In addressing the part of the resolution applicable to the Police Bureau and Central Precinct, we will work with Commissioner Saltzman and his staff in developing programs and missions that deal with the directly deal with the criminal acts that are being conducted on our downtown streets. Some of those are very low-level offenses that impact the perception of safety by people visiting and working in downtown. And those missions will involve the use of officers in plainclothes where they're doing what we call spotting missions, looking for illegal behavior, and then having uniform officers come in and make arrests. We will also have additional bicycle patrols in the downtown core area and footbeats that are addressing just the livability crimes, and our mounted patrol unit does that. We'll work with the commissioner's office also in designing missions specific to hotspots, where a lot of the activity occurs in very small geographic areas that are centered around places where possibly large crowds gather or there's a lot of activity where people are engaged in either drug sales or drug purchases or other intimidating or harassment crimes that really impact the operation of businesses or the ability of people to come and go from different places.
Any questions from council? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move directly to folks that have signed up to testify. Carly, can you call the first three?
First three, please come up. Mark Jolin, Howard Klink, and Israel Bear. They will be followed by Sandra McDonough, Patrick Nolan, and Jeff Miller.
Good morning. Welcome. I think for each of you, welcome back to the City Council. Glad you're here. Do you want to start, Howard?
Mr. Mayor, I'd be glad to. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Howard Klink. I'm Vice President of Community Investment for United Way of the Columbia Willamette. I'm here on behalf of United Way this morning to applaud the mayor and the council and the Portland Business Alliance for putting forth this resolution with a very clear and compelling, which in a very clear and compelling way makes a strong statement of support for a strategic and rational response to a highly complex set of challenges in the downtown area. As you may not be aware, United Way has been heavily invested in the support of services for homeless individuals and families for many years. During the last 5 years, grants have been made to 211, Project Access Now, Outside In, Join, Street Roots, Cascadia Behavioral Health, the Northwest Pilot Project, Janus Youth Programs, and many other agencies in the region to address the needs of homeless individuals and families. Our commitment has been to the development of services that address the root causes of homelessness, including housing, access to mental to health care, mental health, addiction treatment, and employment. As this resolution moves towards implementation, it is important to United Way that all stakeholders keep their eye on the ball. And in this case, the ball, as very clearly reflected in the resolution, represents public safety, the concerns of downtown business owners, recognition of constitutional rights, an ongoing commitment to both address service needs and removal of barriers to homelessness, and a commitment to respect community inclusion and collaborative solutions that promote partnerships and produce results. United Way is absolutely committed to a partnership with the city with respect to this resolution and individuals who are homeless, the business community, and will assist in efforts to raise and distribute funding for services. Our recent experience and success with the Community Relief Fund, which raised $1.6 million for food, rent, and utilities, and efficiently distributed those funds in the region without administrative cost, has demonstrated a strong capacity to assist with this type of community response. We do have some specific questions and, in fact, input that we'd like to bring to the table around the design of the specific public education campaign and the best way to produce the results that we all want. We're absolutely willing to work closely with the collaboration as a whole, government, business community, provider network, and bring into the mix information from other United Ways that we have access to that have been involved in similar efforts nationally. Finally, in closing, United Way supports the mayor, the commissioners, business community, the provider network, and those that are living on the street for moving towards a resolution that has heart, makes commitment, provides a framework, and most importantly to me, gives specific assignments to individuals and bureaus to make this happen. Thank you for the opportunity to present on this issue.
Thank you for your willingness to be a partner on this project. Even more.
Thank you.
Israel.
Well, I want to thank you all for taking on this very challenging issue. You know, Street Roots recognizes that the businesses, large and small, throughout the community are hurting. And I don't think any of us in this chambers don't know someone who's struggling economically or emotionally from the recession and going through a lot of stress. So we want to be able to reach out to the larger community and figure out a way to get beyond some of the rhetoric and the quagmires that we've been in. You know, we feel like the resolution is heading in the right direction. As we stated before, we feel like everybody is doing the best that they can. You know, the one thing that we would caution is that any anti-panhandling campaign or any zero tolerance downtown, because we feel like that would be targeting individuals on the streets and would lead to more polarization than actually solutions. But we look forward to being a part of being able to work with larger community law enforcement, business, services, and individuals on the streets to distribute the Road City Resource Guide and to figure out a way to get beyond some of this stuff. But we, you know, we're cautiously optimistic. So,
thank you, Israel.
So, Mark. If I could, Israel, because of your position in the community, the publisher of Street Roots, and the wide readership you have amongst the homeless and folks downtown, I feel compelled to react to your remarks specific to the targeting of what I would characterize as aggressive panhandling. It's unfortunate we can't to refine that to some other term. But notwithstanding my earlier remarks about Mr. Chassie, I don't want you to confuse where I'm coming from, which I don't think you do. I have worked with Commander Reese on some of what I consider the most cutting-edge police work in downtown that has targeted people who have found themselves in a spiral of mental illness, drug abuse, and alcoholism to get them into treatment, which has resulted in, I think, each of you recognizing livability downtown growing. But that's taken some pretty strong action by the police bureau, but also partnering with mental health agencies. I want you to know that what I have told the mayor is I have never voted for a sidewalk obstruction ordinance since 2002 and arriving on the council till now. I told him I would have to carefully balance what the sidewalk obstruction ordinance said to get myself to a place to vote for it. But if it did not have, and I hope this doesn't sound like doublespeak, but if it did not have a very specific and pointed focus to allow the police to as aggressively go after people, harass homeless people, drug users, mentally ill people, I'm talking about people like the Road Warriors, just in general, whatever that term means, that I won't vote for it. I will not vote for something that does not give Commander Reese the tools he needs to go after this really bad element of people that are a stain to the otherwise really good people you support and I side with time after time after time again. And I hope you do your part at Street Roots to publicize that and say, we're not painting this with a broad brush. There's an element out of there that needs to get out of Portland or else.
Thank you. Mark?
Mayor Adams and Commissioners, I'm Mark Jolin. I'm Joint Executive Director. I'm here primarily because I spent the last couple of years struggling to try to help SAFE reach its potential. And I want to express my appreciation for a number of the commitments that are in this new initiative. I think it bodes very well, and it was said earlier, for the success of the effort that the entire council is invested in the process. I appreciate the commitment to continuing the services that were initiated under SAFE, the promise to expand much-needed public restrooms in the downtown area, and the commitment to continuing to fast-track the Resource Access Center. I think those are all huge. I also think that the plan to maintain an oversight process in this new initiative is critical. And also the commitment to training not just the Portland police, but also private security guards that are inevitably part of those sidewalk conversations that occur around these issues. We also all have a stake in supporting the ability of businesses to succeed here and to create vital jobs. As Israel said, we're working with lots of people who are looking for work. With respect to the ordinance that's being considered, it appears it will be narrower in scope than the previous ordinance, and that should help reduce some of the concerns that arose around the impact of the old ordinance on homeless people in particular. It's my hope that any new ordinance would provide for warnings prior to enforcement and that the consequences for violations will strike a reasonable balance between the desire for accountability and the desire to avoid creating a criminal history that interferes with people's ability to rebuild their lives. My primary hope, however, is that as the regulatory part of this sidewalk management plan moves forward, the emphasis remains on equitably addressing destructive behaviors rather than focusing on protected activities or particular groups of people. Soliciting for personal charity, political support, and business customers is part of the fabric of our downtown, and it's protected conduct. Confrontational and abusive behavior on our sidewalks by whomever and in whatever context it occurs is what unravels that fabric and our sense of community well-being. I very much appreciate the process that got us to this point, the community hearings, meetings, and the multiple opportunities for comment. It's been inclusive of stakeholders, but at the end of the day, this is clearly council's initiative. It's another try at trying to reconcile a difficult set of competing demands on our downtown sidewalks. I hope everyone will strive to make this initiative work, because how we share our sidewalks matters to everyone in this community. And from the perspective of a homeless service provider, there are definitely other issues challenging the homeless community, like housing and employment, that need all the energy and attention we can muster. Thank you for your time.
Mark, I know we have 20-something speakers remaining, so
yep.
I think we're all going to resist commenting, but I just have to say your service on SAFE has been exemplary, and if there is such a thing as a thankless task, you took it on. And so I want to thank you for that. And also earlier, someone raised an issue about what will we be doing this winter around camping and shelters. And we will be announcing next week three different locations, warming centers and emergency shelters. And in about 3 weeks, we'll be announcing some new proposals around camping generally. We would not have made the progress we have on those issues without your leadership, so thank you.
Thank you.
Hear, hear.
Next three.
Next three are Sandra McDonough, Patrick Nolan, and Jeff Miller.
So we have found that what can be said really well in 3 minutes can be said even better in two. So if you prepared for 3 minutes, we'll obviously let you go to 3 minutes, but if you can work it down to two, distill it to two, we would be extremely grateful as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, Mayor Adams and members of council. I'm Sandra McDonough, President and CEO of the Portland Business Alliance, and I'm here today to, on behalf of the downtown business community, to support the comprehensive sidewalk management plan. Downtown, as you all know, is a commercial, residential, and cultural hub of our region. Thousands of people interface on the sidewalks every day. The sidewalks are public spaces, and they are important thoroughfares for accessing the many businesses, cultural attractions, institutions, and services that downtown provides. As you all know very well, the Alliance has worked diligently with many, many partners and invested a substantial number of resources in the past year to help implement the services portion of the SAFE plan. We worked with the city and all of you to open much-needed new restrooms, to get additional new benches downtown, new day shelter facilities, new showers, and new places for people to store belongings. We worked with social service providers and others to extend services and alternatives with people seeking help. And we worked with downtown businesses to ensure that all the sidewalk cafes within the Business Improvement District are permitted in compliance with city rules, and all of the A boards are also permitted. These efforts were made in good faith to find an appropriate balance between enforcement and services to ensure all citizens have the opportunity to make the appropriate use of our public spaces. The Alliance believes the sidewalk management plan will restore that effective and appropriate balance. The balance addresses the needs of citizens, employees, visitors for a clean, safe, and inviting sidewalk environment. We appreciate the work that the Portland Police Bureau did to ensure the laws prohibiting criminal behavior are enforced, and we think effective police enforcement remains a very important part of this. And I'd like to also restate our support for the services coordination team, which is a very essential part of our overall plan for downtown. We know from experience that criminal behavior on the streets is often connected with drug and alcohol use. We also know that panhandling frequently supports drug and alcohol addictions. Portlanders, with their well-intended, generous nature, frequently giving to panhandlers thinking they're helping. And what we want to do is work with all of you to give Portlanders the options to actually give to the services and service providers who are providing drug and alcohol counseling, job helping, and housing services to help these people. And we applaud all of you for taking that on. So in conclusion, thank you for the enormous amount of work every single one of you has done to put this comprehensive strategy together.
Thank you for your testimony. Patrick.
Hi, my name is Patrick Nolan, and I wanted to discuss the same thing that everybody else is going to discuss with you. I'm very happy with what I've seen so far with this rough draft, and I look forward to a completed document and a complete working towards a completed document with you. Some of the things I wanted to discuss today were I'm kind of worried that, and it's been mentioned two or three times today even, but I'm worried that private security keeps being mentioned in the document. And I feel that we have a police department, we have our bureau, I'm sorry, Mike. And I feel that we have people that do this job already, and by allowing other people to do that, we kind of diffuse the ability to control the message that's being delivered by these people. I wanted to thank Randy again for the Lou. As somebody who has been homeless, at 2 in the morning, it's very nice to know that now we have some place for people to use the restroom, and we didn't for a very long time. I wanted to thank our council again for the Resource Access Center and that we're continuing to move forward with that. I feel that Nick and before him, Eric Sten, put a lot of effort into the Resource Access Center, and I really want to call that out.
Thank you.
I think that's only part of the solution, though. I think that we need more affordable housing, and Nick and I have discussed that in the past. And honestly, that's why I hope this plan works. Sandra and I and many others have put 3 years in on this process, and I, as an activist in the homeless community, I think there's things that I'd much rather be working with Nick and Amanda and everybody around affordable housing than how we're going to manage the sidewalks. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. And just to clarify the concern about the private security that currently exists and patrols in the public realm, the concern that they lacked the same kind of training that the police bureau get, actually that comes from homeless advocates. So it's intended to put together a program where they get the same kind of training around mental health issues and the same kind of training on cultural specific, any of the training that the police bureau gets, we want to make sure that the private security is getting as well.
But with the Portland police, we have the independent police review. We don't with any private security firm in town.
No, this just is limited to training, and it would make sure that they're getting the same training that the police bureau is getting, which right now is and is not happening depending on the security firm.
And that's why private security oversight is so important, is because we are moving more and more into using them as police.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Hi.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, I'm obviously not Jeff Miller. I'm Veronica Reinard with Travel Portland. Jeff sins as he regrets he was not able to be here today. But I am here to support this plan on behalf of Travel Portland and to thank you again for all of the time and thought that you have put into this comprehensive plan, and especially to thank you for listening to the concerns that we have passed through from visitors to our city who have not felt comfortable here and meeting planners who are concerned about bringing their business here because of that. We support this integrated and comprehensive approach, continuing to look at both the sidewalk issues and the related service needs. We do see those as going together. The proposed through zones and meeting the ADA guidelines, as well as targeted enforcement of truly illegal behavior, I think are a good start to people being able to comfortably get around and spend time downtown. We also think that the plan to provide a more visible and easier ways for people to contribute to legitimate service agencies is a really good and important part of this, and the educational campaign around that, around giving to services instead of giving cash on the street, is good. And we look forward to working with you and helping to bring our partner businesses into helping implement that plan. So just want to thank you again for considering the tourism industry concerns around all of these issues.
Thank you all very much for your testimony. Carla, the next three?
Next three are Leo Rhodes, Mike O'Callaghan, and Ibrahim M. And they will be followed by Mandy M., Erica Green, and Tina Perry.
Good morning. Welcome back to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Just want to thank you for your hard work and working on this issue. I know it is hard talking and listening to all of his comments right now. But you got to remember, too, that it's hard for us homeless people, too, out there. You know, the elements right now. Right now it's raining, it's cold. It's going to be snowing pretty soon. So it's really hard on us, too. When you talk about the panhandlers, though, you know, and some of the incidences about the homeless people, it sounds like profiling to me. I mean, you talk about the people that, you know, drugs, alcohol, mentally ill. You know, I mean, when you talk about panhandlers, isn't that kind of the same thing as bell ringers, you know, around Christmas times? The girls and boys that, you know, go out for their schools and ask for money. Then also Greenpeace people. You know, they're the same kind of people, too. I don't hear any mention of them.
I hear
people talking about those people when I am out on the streets, complaining about them, how they come right to them and keep on them just as aggressively as you say panhandlers are.
And this
also,
just to
rural, be, road warriors.
Just to be clear, I'll give you a little more time. This deals with all of that in the same way.
Well, okay. But I'm just saying, you know, that it just sounds more one-sided right now that you're talking about it. Also, like the Road Warriors, too. You know, I've seen a lot of high school kids acting just as bad as they do. You know, and that's really bad to see because, you know, those are our future and they have to act like that. It's great that you have the locations of the three campsites involved. I mean, that was one of my issues of having one. Dealing with homeless people and having a self-managed home, tent city that I started up in Seattle, also one that I am a founder of called Nicholasville. That's what these buttons are for up here. I gave one button, I Love Tent City, to a Tibetan monk, and he called it a badge of courage, which I didn't understand. It's a long story, but I call it actually a life-saving, because that's what it is. It's giving people a chance to get off the streets, get out of the elements of what you're talking about, being on the streets, of having that harassment down there. That's what we need to do. It's a good thing. I love the RAC building. I always thought that was a great idea. I had some dealings with that a long time ago. I wrote it in an article. But I just think that, you know, we need to work together on this, homeless people and the non-homeless people, in order to resolve this issue. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Callahan.
Hello. Thank you again. It's really great to hear the testimony of all these things here, and all these things happen because people care. So I would like to thank people for caring. And I like the statement about managing animate and inanimate objects. The ADA only deals with inanimate objects, not animate objects, so that should be pretty clear from that point of view. What we're dealing with here, the problem really is people on the streets with no place to go. That's the problem. Do you know anybody that wants to be on the streets? No. People need a place to go. It is, from my perspective, a human right to be warm, dry, and secure. And presently in this city, sleeping, I like the idea of telling the police to enforce littering, harassment, and disorderly, and not sleeping mentioned on there. I appreciate that. I also appreciate the fact that it is raining now. People are getting wet now. When it starts snowing, people are going to be getting cold and wet. And Commissioner Leonard isn't here, but I'd like to make a little comment on an immediate solution to the loo problem. Anybody that has one or more loos on a construction site puts another one out for the public. Okay? No cost. Pass an ordinance. Make it temporary until the loos get constructed. And we have a solution to this problem. And I would suggest, in light of Mr. Chassie, that the public urination ordinance be suspended. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony, sir.
I'd like to welcome you all. Good morning to the council members. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak from the Homeless Liberation Front. I commend you on coming up with these guidelines, but I was wondering, did y'all talk to anybody on Ground Zero, like myself and other homeless people, which can give you more insight on what's going on in the street instead from hearsay? This, to me, is not immediate need. Immediate needs to have people inside, not to control the sidewalk or come up with guidelines on the sidewalk. That's good, but people are on sidewalks because they have no place to sleep. I implore you, the council member, to invest in the idea or proposal that I've been given about having another similar tent city where it can get a number of people off the street where they can stay inside tents or shelters and get warm and be dry and safe instead of being on the street, bringing laws and rules and regulations to criminalize them because they don't have no place to go. And I guarantee you, if I handpick certain people, that place could run sufficient.
Thank you all very much for your testimony.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank
Carla,
you.
The next three.
Next three are Mandy M., Erica L. Green, and Tina Perry. They will be followed by Ross Bennett, Steve Trujillo, and Andrea Meyer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the City Council. All right. Who would like to go first? Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Tina Perry. I myself am homeless, too. I've come down here downtown to camp out a few times and try to get in the women's shelters. But it didn't work out too well for me because, you know, everything that's going on. So now I go up, I camp up, like, by the zoo up there where there's not so much people and everything. But the shelters for the women down here, I think it would really save a lot of problems if they were to be, like, UA'd before you get into them. And if we was to have, like, another Dignity Village, if somehow we could have, like, some kind of bus or something to send them out there on, to live at a place like that and build like a little house, some kind of housing or something for them to be able to have a way to get things that they need instead of being camping out downtown. If that's possible to happen, I don't know.
Well, Commissioner Fish is working specifically on the issue of shelter beds for women, which is an issue that we've heard a lot. So he should be coming forward with some proposals in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Hi, welcome back.
Good morning. I'm not really knowing a lot about homeless, but I actually had to sleep under the bridge for a couple months. I deal with a lot of women at Rose Haven that are homeless. My concern is, just like Tina is, living in a clean and sober environment, not allowing the ladies to come in to where they are, allow them to go out on the streets and use drugs, allow them to come back to the building and just interact with people that are really trying to get their lives together. And then, like that, unless the little thing you guys have about the people sleeping on the sidewalks, I mean, the police used to come by and, you know, and literally, you know, they would blow the horn, let me know it's time for us to get up, which, I mean, I thought that was generous instead of, you know, talking to us, you know, and rudely. So I know that was time for me to get up, roll my little sleeping bag up, put it in my little cart, and be on my way to where I need to go, to St. Francis or what have you, to get myself together for the day. I guess Dignity Village would be, I guess, a good opportunity for people to just have a place to be. And, of course, they need to have rules there as far as the keeping the clean and sober thing. And you know, God has no color. There's no religion there. Everybody just needs to get along and live at a place that's going to be comfortable, I guess, for everybody to be at. And just for the children, well, they need a place for the kids to be, for just, I don't know. I just want people to not be on the streets. I don't want people to be in the rain. I did it by choice, but it was an experience for me, and it wasn't fun. But people did help me when I was there. People came by all the time in the mornings and offered me coffee, food. St. Francis was always there for me to go and hang out. But there's got to be more places to hang out that are safe and clean and sober.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it.
As you well heard from everybody else, it is raining outside.
And what's your name?
Mandy Major.
Hi, thanks.
It is raining outside. It is cold. Without us having the ability to put our tents up, or our tarps for that matter, it makes it to where by the next night our bedding is going to be wet. Therefore, what happens when you're sleeping in wet bedding? You're going to get sick. We're going to add more money that has to be put into the medical area, and it defeats the purpose in the long run. The main issue with the tarps and tents being up, why? Because it's a sight for sore eyes. Homelessness is here, okay? It's not gonna go away tomorrow or the next day. It's an ongoing problem. Therefore, the laws and regulations that surround homelessness and the use of our tarps and our tents needs to be feasible. I can honestly say that none of you have probably taken a week and lived without your four walls and a roof over your head. Therefore, you can't understand or know what we go through every day, day after day. We're stereotyped as mentally ill, alcoholics, drug addicts. There's a majority of us that are not. That's not recognized. The organizations and committees get together and they speak about us and for us. But have those organizations and committees come to us and spoke to us to get our opinion? No, Therefore, how can you turn around and speak for us and know what we need? Legitimately, you can't. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank all of you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Just a program note, we're going to be taking a break at 12:30 for We're going to be taking a break at 12:30 for how long?
I think under your rule it's till 2.
But we should maybe change that.
1:30?
We're going to take a break.
You're the mayor.
We're going to take a break for 1 hour to 1:30. So those of you, and we're only going to deal with this item, so if you have future items on the agenda, you can come back at 1:30, and we don't need to have you sit here unless you want. So we're going to finish up, hopefully, this item and do all other items starting at 1:30. Except for, and what time is that at?
Well, it's on the regular agenda. It's an appointment that I was just hoping could introduce our appointee.
So I'm going to move to suspend the rules without, unless there's objection, for a 4-minute interruption. Commissioner Fritz.
The item on the agenda we're taking?
Please read the title for 14. One moment, please.
Leif Hansen?
Yes.
Okay, that's 1466.
Thank you.
1466. Appoint Leif Hansen to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission for term to expire May 31, 2011.
Thank you for indulgence, Council, and those of you who are waiting to testify on this item. I wanted to introduce Leif Hansen, who's being appointed to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. This is a volunteer position, which is very important. It helps make decisions that brings in money that help provide general fund services. So it is an important issue, and we were just chastised for not including citizens in some of our efforts, so I wanted to make sure that we had Mr. Hansen here. He works for LS Networks as Director of Engineering and Operations. He has 10 years of telecommunications experience, and I want to thank you for your willingness to serve. You're replacing Bill June, who served on the Mount Hood Regulatory Commission for the past 4 years and also was chair during the 1980s. So thank you very much. Just wanted to see if you wanted to say anything to the council.
No, I just appreciate the chance to meet you and look forward to contributing.
Well, thanks for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
All right. Carla, would you please call the roll on 1466.
Fritz?
Okay. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, welcome to the Cable Commission. I also wanted to thank Bill June for his years of service as well. But welcome. Aye.
Adams?
Congratulations, Mr. Hansen. Aye. So appointed. Now, back to, we're no longer suspending the rules, so reintroducing the rules. Can you call the next three testifiers?
Next three, please come on up, are Ross Bennett, Steve Trujillo, and Andrea Meyer. They will be followed by Dave Regan, Veronica Renard, and Jonathan Edwards.
Good morning. Welcome back to the City Council. Glad you're here. Andrea, you want to start first?
Thank you. Mayor Adams, Commissioners Andre Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon, and I, too, have been involved in this issue for many years and was appointed by Mayor Potter to serve on the Safe Work Group. And I do appreciate many of the broad support aspects of this resolution and the many goals. So with my brief time, I want to focus on three issues that I do have concern about, and that is the inclusion of the term aggressive panhandlers. If someone is engaged in criminal behavior, highlight the criminal behavior and not a particular form of lawful speech here, panhandlers. It sends a confusing message. Asking someone for money is not a crime. Assaulting someone is a crime and has nothing to do with speech and can arise in any situation in downtown Portland or anywhere else. I urge you to consider just changing the language to concerns about criminal activity. Second, number two in the resolution talks about the police bureau creating a work plan to enforce laws including littering, harassment, disorderly conduct, and drug dealing. We would expect enforcement to be applied to everyone. For example, as you all probably know, the littering of cigarettes in downtown and elsewhere in our community is rampant. And here I see it most often rampant by the downtown workers who have to come out in front of their building. So we would expect law enforcement to actively enforce the littering laws in front of various office buildings, including in plain clothes, not just around the Pioneer Square area. In 2008, the Oregon Supreme Court significantly narrowed the harassment law, holding it unconstitutional. And again, that is still in the code, in the statutes, and I would just caution that it's confusing to law enforcement in terms of what they can do, but you cannot, it is unconstitutional and intentionally harassing or annoying another person by public insult, abusive words, or gestures. That's no longer good law. We caution application, as I said, to these targeting specific groups, and we ask that the Bureau and Commissioner Saltzman track application of these laws so we can all feel assured of their fair application.
Andrea, you have written testimony?
I don't have written testimony to submit.
If you have something in writing you submit afterwards, could you email it to us?
I would be happy to. Do I have a moment? I did prepare for three.
Go ahead.
But, and my last point is simply on the ADA requirements. Until the ordinance is drafted, it is hard to analyze, and there are significant barriers for those who are disabled in our community to navigate, such as lack of curb cuts, which, as you know, must be marked differently for people who have sight issues, as well as on wheelchairs or semi-permanent business structures, such as outdoor cafes, and then permanent structures, such as a Max Tower that I just encountered 2 days ago at Yamhill near the corner of 9th. Very little room between the building and this Max structure. So there are also human barriers, but the one I notice most often is a hotel near my office, where every time I seem to go by, the clients of the hotel are either coming or going and congregating in front. And, of course, we have those at the Max and bus stops. I've never been actually restricted in my access by anyone asking me for money. So any ordinance that looks for specific areas to free up the sidewalk of obstacles must apply in all situations, hotels, bus stops, or groups of folks who run into each other as they're coming back and forth in the sidewalks. So instead of focusing on human beings who can easily move to accommodate at any given time, there is much work to be done on the ADA, focusing on permanent and semi-permanent structures, as well as expanding the marked curbs in Portland and downtown and elsewhere, like my neighborhood, that doesn't have them yet. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Sir.
Good morning. And my name is Ross Bennett. I'm a former secretary of Dignity Village, and I'm no longer homeless. And I am now part of the tax base of our city for 3 years now. I'd like to thank you, because I don't have to give you this opinion and order cite from a state case. Thank you. On September 9th, 2001, the Homeless Front started camping at the 1800 block of NATO Parkway in the protest of the anti-camping ban. On the 10th of September, Sam, you, as Barrett Katz's aide, told Commander Weingar that this camping was considered illegal by the city and requested Commander Weingar to take action. Days later, we were arrested. And Sam, there is no hard feelings. Because later, Mayor Katz, who coined us as their little rascals, sat down with Eric Stinn, Mark Lakeman, a host of community and interfaith organizations, and a core group from Dignity Village. They all sat down, and they rolled up their sleeves, and they found common ground, which later in time matured into a viable solution that would think out of the box, disenfranchise people along with the community, helping themselves. With rules and accountability, putting a roof over each other's heads. And really, since as a taxpayer, I just got spare change by Sachs and Goldman, AIG, Chrysler, and as well as General Motors. So really, we need to lighten up. And maybe like FDR and the New Deal, we could put it from the bottom up. And that village that I got arrested for back in 2001, it saves this city money. And it helps people just like me to get back on my feet. And that, my friends, that's economic recovery. I hope Vera Katz, who I truly admire, knows how much I am personally indebted to her for giving us that shot, which brings me to the very heart of this address to you. Unless all parties come to the table and find that common ground with representation and equity across the board for all involved, we will only create something flawed and far less than our city's potential. As this process begins to evolve, we will all need to dig down deeper and draw from our compassion, learn from our mistakes, as well as capitalize on our successes. So, let's roll up our sleeves. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Steve.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, council members. My name is Steve Trujillo. I'm the pastor of Father's House City Ministries. It's a church dedicated to serving the downtown community and specifically the homeless also. I want to first applaud you for the great work you have taken on and each commissioner taking on a piece. I think it's a great way for us to start. I'd like to address a couple of elements I think might be good for us to also look at. I do street-based outreach at least one night a week. And in most given nights, I find somebody who's addicted to drugs, alcohol. And if that night they'd like to get some help, the choices are so limited. The best I can do is maybe get him to Hooper detox. But then what's next? Wait in a long line for somebody to let him into a program, but a lot of times insurance won't let him in or different. There's so many obstacles. I would love to see that component be a lot more addressed more in as part of this resolution. That there's many proven programs out there, like the American the Volunteers of America, the program that they're using along with the Services Coordination Team program. Fantastic program. I've seen the graduates. It's amazing what happens to these people's lives when they go through a good recovery program, and I'd love to see that be part of this resolution. I'd also like to urge Commissioner Saltzman to look at the past police policies in Central Precinct when at times they had officers assigned to the youth continuum services to work along with those services. Now, I've been talking to those services. They miss those days. I've been working with the youth of Portland since the 1990s, and I have seen how that relationship helped many of those young people address their issues. And after a while, they begin to see that officer as somebody that was looking out for them. And if we go, we know that a lot of young people gather on our streets down here. And if we have an officer that's assigned to them to build a relationship, connection with them, I think that we could be a very proactive, positive way of engaging these young people. And I think that the social services community would really welcome that. And finally, as somebody who's involved very much in civic groups like the Downtown Neighborhood Association, which I've chaired for the last 4 years, I like to say that the whatever ordinance comes up really needs to address pedestrian right away. That needs to be the focus of this ordinance, that we pride ourselves on being this walkable city. And that there are a few corners, just a few corners here in our city that are not that walkable. And that we deal with it in a way that really gives access, safe access to the people that are entering and exiting businesses that are trying to get through. Not, I've seen people having to get on the MAX tracks because of obstacles that are in the way. So I really admire the work that you all have taken on to do. I support it. I'm here to help any way that I can. And I think that in the future, it might be best served to disconnect these two issues, because we need the services for the homelessness and we need safe streets. And I don't know that tying them together has really resolved us and has resulted in more angst than anything else. Thank you.
Thank you. And just one note, the contained in the council approved budget is commitments and funding to partner up with the county for the new Hooper Detox Center development and all the programs that go along with that. So we're trying to do our part.
And also later in today's agenda, we're approving $1.25 million to Central City Concern for drug and alcohol services. I certainly share your concern. I know the mayor does too, and we're working on multiple aspects. And just to be clear, services and the ordinance are completely decoupled. They're not dependent one on the others. And in fact, the Portland Business Alliance continued funding services over the summer when the sidewalk ordinance was suspended.
Thank you.
Thank you all. How many more people to testify?
We have six more people.
Okay.
The next three are Dave Regan, Jonathan J. Edwards, and Dan Handelman.
Hi, why don't you go ahead and begin?
How about Glenn Kirkendall? And they'll be followed by Barry Jo Stoll and Kathy Oliver.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon already. We're glad that you're being so patient as to hear so many people speak. I'm honored to be here. I know that I'm a little unpopular with you, but I'm going to have to do it again. There are problems with bullies on your police force, Mr. Saltzman, and I suggest that you either clean it up, renegotiate the contracts. They're up in June. It's almost impossible with this police union contract to get real discipline. And we both know that Humphreys and Nice should not be in the police. We all know this. Why is this allowed to continue? Please do something or turn it over. The other thing I'd like to say is, you want people off your sidewalks? Give them a place to go. It's been said again and again. I love it when Randy Lander says, hey, don't anybody doubt we have the political will to do this. It hasn't been done yet. We've been talking about this for years. There are so many idle public lands, especially in the county realm, if you'd cooperate better with them. And quit saying, oh, this is Nick's problem every time I send a letter to your office. This is a, if you don't get interbureau about this, you're not going to address the problem of homelessness. The newly homeless is the new situation. You can talk all day about mental illness and urinating in public and DSM-IV and every other kind of problem with chronic homelessness, but there's been a shift. There's not going to be enough federal money coming down. You know it. Look at the size of the national debt and the risk of hyperinflation. You don't get too dependent on this federal money. You need local programs for jobs, and you can do it. You're at the helm at a time in history that's very perilous for 10,000 unsheltered if you count all the metro area, and that's just the ones that are ongoing homeless. Of course, they're going to sit on your sidewalks and cause problems. Give them a place to go.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Mr. Hanneman.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman from Port and Cop Watch, and we sent our comments to you last week, but I wanted to put them on the public record here. We're glad to see that in your resolution there's no mention of an ordinance about sitting or lying on the sidewalk, but we still are concerned that using the Americans with Disabilities Act to cover your moving homeless people away from storefronts is inappropriate. At most, the person who somehow blocks the needed 3-foot passageway described in the ADA should be given a warning to get out of the passable area, not cited, arrested, or moved from the entire sidewalk as is done under CitLive versions number 1-3. We're also glad to see that police will be asked to enforce existing laws, including littering, harassment, disorderly conduct, and drug dealing, but it would serve the police and the public to be specific about whether that enforcement must be applied equitably, regardless of a person's dress, skin color, perceived economic status, or other appearance. We also suggested that the city consider charging such crimes as violations if their council is really concerned about creating criminal records for people under the sidewalk management plan. An area of great concern is the proposal regarding training programs for private security, which was well addressed earlier, and we agree that there has to be an oversight system for the rent-a-cops downtown who are hired through the city. There has to be a way to hold them accountable. And we also expressed concerns about the telephone and internet-based option for the public to report concerns that Commissioner Fritz is taking under her wing. We're not really clear whether this is going to be a transient program, or if it's going to be for also people who are rude to homeless people, including police officers, and that should be clarified as well. But I do want to add that this does, it's good that each commissioner has a role in this, but this means you all have to own this entire plan, and that means the oversight of the police and the oversight of the private security has to be something that all of you concern yourselves with. I also just want to put out on the record, James Chassie was not homeless. He lived at the Swindells building at Broadway and Burnside, and it shouldn't matter whether he was homeless or not. Nobody should be treated that way.
Did you want to wrap up?
Yeah, I just want to wrap up by saying, you know, I've been following this issue for however long we've had all these CitLive laws, and I've never heard somebody with disabilities say, I couldn't get from one end of the sidewalk to the other as one of the reasons you're creating these laws. So I think it's strange that's what you're focusing on as a solution. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan. Hi.
Thank you. My name is Glenn Kirkendall. I'm here because I care about our community. I especially care about the most downtrodden members of our community. I'm an activist with the Freedom Socialist Party, a rank-and-file member in the United Food and Commercials Workers Union, and an individual with a disability. As such, I have grave concerns about this resolution. While I recognize the time and effort spent to craft it with due respect, I would like to point out a few things that, in my view, make a dangerous tool for further city-sanctioned harassment of the homeless, youth, and activists by the Portland Police. First, the resolution would command the Portland Police to draft a sidewalk management plan and how to police sidewalk use. Councilor Dan Saltzman alone would be charged with the oversight of the police on this issue. This is blatantly, pardon the pun, one-sided. Given the shameful history of the Portland Police Bureau in dealing with the homeless, people of color, and youth, it is high time that an independent elected civilian review board have an oversight of all police activity, including private security guards. Second, the business community has landed the country and our community in economic crisis. Let's be clear, it is corrupt business practices including outright thievery by the largest corporations in this country that have tanked the economy, not some mysterious market cycle. This resolution should demand taxes from downtown businesses to pay for the services that the homeless need and deserve. And rest assured, they can afford it, and they will not pack up and leave, not in this economic climate. Lastly, in the last clause, there's a vague